I'm going to read for us Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. With that, we'll join 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. But before we read the scripture, let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we give you our praise and thanks that we are indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are a new temple, and that Jesus Christ is the master builder who has brought us to confess our first love for him. Oh God, we pray that through the reading and proclamation of your word, that you would glorify and exalt yourself in and through our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, reading from God's word. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. And then a parallel passage, 1 Peter chapter 2. These words are written by the Apostle Peter, to whom Jesus said, "You are Peter, and on this rock," the confession of Christ, not Peter, Christ would build his church. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, for it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, and they were destined to do." Just three points. Fearless in our witness, secure in the faithfulness of Christ, and moving forward by faith and fruitfulness. Three F's. Fearless in our witness for the gospel. Is Jesus Christ most precious to you right now? Peter said, we come to him who is precious to us. Why is Jesus Christ precious in 1 Peter 2 and in Ephesians chapter 2? The only reason we cherish and treasure and consider Jesus Christ to be most precious to us is because he set his love on us in eternity past. He shed his precious blood for our salvation. And we are told by Peter that Jesus Christ has made us a chosen treasured people. Now, Peter's not just bringing that up off his hat. That comes from Exodus 19, 3 and 4, where God says to his own people, "Do you see what I did to Egypt? How I bore you up on angels' wings, on eagles' wings, sorry, not angels' wings, eagles' wings, and brought you to myself." And then in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, God says to his people, you are treasured and you are chosen, not because you were more in number than any other people, but because I set my love on you. Now, as God's treasured and chosen people, we are to take that privilege of being bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, of having God set his love on us, and be fearless, courageous witnesses for Christ. That is why we have built this building. We have built and done the renovations so that as Calvary was a lighthouse years before, that we would be a lighthouse on this hill for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood for our salvation. These are not walls of insulation. These are walls to invite. These are walls to minister the gospel of God's grace. These are walls to declare the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what Peter says. You are a chosen race. Privilege ought to lead to action by the grace and the power of God Almighty. I ask the question from the passage, is Jesus most precious? Because if he is most precious, then his love is more important than your life. If something else is more precious, then that is our love, and it is more important than Jesus to us. I read a story this week that put it all in place. And it's about a pastor, Pastor Rittenhouse, who was, he was vacationing with his family, and they were driving in their automobile, and all of a sudden, they're driving in one direction, and a car comes towards them in the other direction, you know, on a two-lane highway, and it has a trunk on the top. So all of a sudden, the trunk falls from this top of the car, and it falls on the road. So Pastor Rittenhouse and his family stop the car. He gets out. He grabs the trunk, thinking he can turn around and maybe catch up to the car, but the car is gone. So what they do is, because the trunk was broken already, is they search through the trunk for an address because they want to get it back to this individual. Well, they didn't find an address, but they found a gold medal, a gold piece that had an engraving given to Otis Simpson on his retirement from the Portland Cement Company. So they track down the address, and Pastor Rittenhouse writes a letter and says, we found your suitcase. I really want to get it back to you. Will you please send me your address, and we'll just send it back. And so what happens is this Otis Simpson gets the letter, and he writes back and says, I don't want the suitcase. Everything in it is trivial, but that gold piece is my most precious possession in life. It's a $20 gold piece. Please send that back and keep the suitcase. So Pastor Rittenhouse writes him back, says, I'm sending you the gold piece, but you mentioned to me several times in your letter the gold piece is the most precious possession in your life. And I want to be bold enough to say that Jesus Christ is the most precious possession in my life. And he wrote to him his testimony of why Jesus Christ was his most precious possession and sent it back with the gold medal. Well, this Otis Simpson, a year from the date, that date when he got the letter, sends back the gold piece with this little letter inside of it. I told you that that gold piece was the most precious possession in my life, and it was. But God has made Jesus Christ the most precious possession in my life, and I'm sending you back the $20 gold piece. It's no longer most precious to me. Jesus Christ is. Isn't that wonderful? The way the grace of God can take the most hard-hearted of sinners, to take those who think through their own effort that they can get into heaven, and convict them of their sin, break down their foundation of self-trust, and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. There are a lot of Otis Simpsons around us, all over the place, who are lost in the rebellion and darkness of sin and who need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as we go forth into this community, as we have ministries within this church building, God has people that he is going to reach in his infinite wisdom and his all-powerful grace as we're faithful with the gospel. We are here for the glory of God, and because Jesus is precious to us, our delight, our passion becomes, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we would be your ambassadors wherever we are. The renovations are not most precious to us. The renovated bathrooms are not most precious. No longer barricaded, though, I know. I had to use those bathrooms. The kitchen renovated is not most precious. Jesus Christ is. But because he is, we want to use every square inch for the glory of Jesus Christ in being bold and fearless witnesses for the gospel, not in our own strength, but by the power of Christ. Well, there's another point here, and that is, let's acknowledge the faithfulness of God today. We read here in verse 19 of Ephesians 2, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Let's praise God today that every aspect of the renovations is what the Lord God Almighty has done, and it's all a testimonial to the faithfulness of the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, who cares for his church at all times in every way. The church is not the building. The church is the people inhabited by the Spirit of God who are in the building, utilizing it for God's glory. But our foundation is secure because Jesus is our cornerstone. Now, briefly, what is a cornerstone? A cornerstone was such a massive imagery in the Old Testament. The cornerstone was provided architectural unity to the entire building. Everything was built around the cornerstone, the lay of the walls, the dimension, the foundation. In fact, in the Temple of Solomon, the cornerstone was 29 feet long, the size of a railway car. And what the Apostle Paul is doing, as well as Peter, is he's saying Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. He is the massive foundation that gives unity to all of God's people because he unites us to himself through faith in him alone. He alone is our foundation, and because he is, we are secure. Because he is, he does exceedingly more than we can ask or even imagine. Our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. This image is found in Isaiah 28:16. See, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, precious, and whoever believes in him will never, ever be disappointed. Never, ever be shamed. Everyone who has seen the building renovations, even the HVAC people who came in said, this exceeds our expectations. Why? Because he who believes in him will never be disappointed. It is what God has done. And it's so true what Hudson Taylor said. God's work, done God's way for the glory of the cornerstone, will not fail to accomplish God's purposes. The faithfulness of God. I asked for a couple of testimonies of faithfulness, and I share them as snippets with you. Bob and Genevieve Weavers want to give testimony to God's faithfulness. With the possibility of Calvary Church having the doors closed, we were thankful. Lord had another plan, that Covenant would keep the doors open for worship and ministry. In spite of the pandemic, we saw building renovations go forward with the work of financial help and prayers of the church family. And then Judy Irby, while closing of Calvary was painful and tearful and very emotional, this was different. She had been part of another church that had closed. This was different. You could see God's work at hand. I'm grateful to belong to Calvary, and I look forward to trusting what God has for us in the future. Bless God Almighty, who has been faithful. It all redounds to his glory. He is the head of the church. He was orchestrating all things, leading us to the right general contractor, right carpenter, leading us in giving. God has blessed his people. Let us bless God. Let us simply be faithful and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And let us dedicate ourselves to living our lives in dependence and trust on Christ. You know, Peter says, you have a sure foundation. The people in Isaiah 28 followed a lie, followed other gods. But God said, I have a tested foundation in the Messiah to come. And Jesus Christ is a sure foundation upon which to build our ministry. Let us pursue him, and let us pursue one another in love. He is our unity. Do you know the foundation stone actually was the last stone many times to be put in, the capstone. Jesus Christ is the last witness to the gospel in terms of him completing all that was promised in the Old Testament. He is the final Savior. He is the temple. He is the Lamb. Let us build our hopes and life on the cornerstone. And then third, let's move forward in faith towards fruitfulness. The final component of the new temple are the building blocks, the stones that are built together in the temple. Now, in the Old Testament, the Gentiles were excluded from many parts of the temple with walls and threatening signs. But now, listen to this. This is great. We form the building blocks in the spiritual temple. Isn't that great? With Christ as the cornerstone. Here's the picture. The picture is you have a massive cornerstone in Christ. And through his vitality, through the Holy Spirit, we're aglow with the love and power of Christ. Then you have the foundation of the apostles and prophets teaching the proclamation of the gospel that's built around the cornerstone. And then you have the building blocks tied together by the eternal purposes of God to offer ourselves in service and sacrifice to Christ and one another. You don't stack building blocks on top of each other without a compound to hold them together. And the compound that holds us together is the power of the Holy Spirit to love each other. The power of the Holy Spirit to love those who are lost. That ties us together. See what a beautiful temple? It is a spiritual temple. Let us give ourselves to God. And give ourselves to doing all that we can, what we can, for God to bless others through this building, through our service to him. Let us be a house of the Lord that is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us serve him, trusting him for fruitfulness. Let us bathe our lives and this ministry in prayer. God has done so much for us. And let us go forward in faith, because we faced, yes, many obstacles from beginning to end, but there are going to be more obstacles. But you know, whatever obstacles there are under the feet of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. So let's go forward for the Lord Jesus, because he is precious to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have chosen us to belong to you, not because we're deserving, but because you're merciful. God, you have been so gracious to us. We thank you, Lord, for working within us the faith to move forward on building plans. We thank you for providing the right people as contractors, subcontractors. Thank you, God, for the prayers and support of the congregation. But most of all, we give you praise with joy for what you have done. Oh God, may you use this building, the sanctuary, as a place where the word of God is faithfully proclaimed and where the gospel of the good news is given to those who are lost, and where the word is soaked up so we may be sent out to be your witnesses. May every inch of this building be a place that is invested in the eternal growth in our relationship with you, where love is experienced, where we grow in the knowledge of your word, where you are greatly glorified through our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.